This biennial podcast is made possible by MetLife Foundation. In order to understand the present role and significance of the biennial, our program looks back to the founding of the Whitney Museum. The Whitney's engagement and support of contemporary artists is a tradition as old as the museum itself. The museum was founded by Gertrude Vanderbilt Whitney. She had maintained a less formal gallery space through the 1920s, and in 1931, she opened the Whitney with a core group of 700 works of art. The annual exhibitions, which eventually became the biennials, began a year later in 1932.
My name is Flora Miller Biddle, and Gertrude Vanderbilt Whitney was my grandmother. I'm going to read some of the things that she said about her museum. Ever since museums were invented, contemporary liberal artists have had difficulties in crashing the gate. Museums have had the habit of waiting until a painter or sculptor had acquired a certain official recognition before they would accept his or her work within their sacred portals. Exactly the contrary practice will be carried on in the Whitney Museum of American Art. I opened the gallery at 8 West 8th Street, and for years the gallery carried on, showing the public the work produced not only by the older recognized artists, but by our own youth. I was often discouraged in the work. Some years, I felt as if we were getting nowhere. The papers and many people persisted in the idea which the old gentleman had that I was running a charity organization. People raised their eyebrows at my explanations, so I stopped explaining and went right on having exhibitions, giving the artists the opportunity to show what they were doing. The encouragement given me by recognized artists made me very happy. Of course, they understood.
So who were these unknown artists who had such trouble crashing the gate? Many of the American painters who are best known and loved today, including Edward Hopper and Georgia O'Keeffe.
When people, early on saw the works of Hopper or O'Keeffe in early biennials, and I believe both of them were in the 1932, the first biennial at the museum, I'm sure that people found it pretty surprising.
Adam Weinberg is director of the Whitney.
Today, we look at these things, we think they're beautiful, we think they're classical. Everybody would want to own one. But the idea in the 1920s and 30s that this would be the subject of art, the idea that a person sitting in the room by themselves painted in not perhaps even the most deft fashion, I mean, Hopper was a good painter, but not a great stylist per se, but it was very hard-fought paintings, and the classic Hopper loneliness that we now think of was early on very much thought of as much a defect as it was a positive thing. And so each generation, we bring things to the fore that people find sometimes difficult or uninteresting, sometimes even a bit offensive. But, what we're trying to do is give a sense of the pulse of what's going on at a particular moment. My hope would be not to say that you should come in and you should love everything and that this is for you and this is what you want in your house. That's not really the point. The point is to, is to give the art a chance and to be open-minded and to try to understand what it is that the artist is trying to do. And we're not in a situation where we have to judge the work of art the minute we walk in. The idea of the biennial, I think the word possibility is probably the word I would focus on, because I think it is a word that connects the present biennials to 1932, the possibility that you could be in a biennial and not be an artist who's necessarily in the mainstream, the possibility that you could create something in a way that you had never created it before. And that sense of possibility, I think, even today is what drives people to the biennial.
Okay, wait till you hear this great story.
Photographer Zoe Strauss was in the 2006 biennial, which was curated by Chrissy Isles and Philippe Verne.
So I'm just at home, and I'm sitting on the sofa, then someone's leaving a message, because who can be getting the phone? I'm certain it's probably someone calling that I don't want to talk to. But no, it's Chrissy Isles, saying, do you want to be in the Whitney Biennial? So then I just get up and get the phone, and I'm like, yes, I would like to be in the Biennial. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was just an unbelievable experience. In many ways, it allowed a number of opportunities to happen, but it didn't really change my work because I'm kind of producing it the same way that I had before. the biennial allowed my work to be seen by a lot of people in the art world, I'm not really connected to the art world. And I'm working on a 10-year project where I show photographs once a year under I-95 in South Philadelphia. The installation's in a specific section underneath I-95, so they're adhered to the pillars that hold the highway up. So my work is intended to just be seen by those. My audience is those people who can walk to that for the most part, and my intent was never really for it to be seen in museums, although not that I hadn't hoped for that, and not that I don't want that to be a part of who sees it. I mean, I seriously wanted to go like every week and sit in the room and be like, hello, here I am at the Whitney Biennial. Sometimes if there were a few people in the room, everyone got a photo that they could take home with. Yeah. Again, because you're sitting looking at my work in the Whitney. And you paid to get in. Hello, get a treat. That's how it should be. It was a pleasure to be in the museum and to work on the show and to see the other work. Not that I necessarily liked all of the other work. That's 100 people. How could you be liking all of the work? But it was fascinating seeing what was chosen and why it was chosen and what it meant.
Adam Weinberg.
Sometimes it's the artist that you find most exciting is the one that 10 years from now will be the least exciting. Sometimes the one you find most offensive is going to be the one that's most memorable. Arshil Gorky, who is one of a kind of now classic figure in the Whitney collection and somebody who is thought of as one of the greatest American artists of the 20th century, he first showed his work in a Whitney biennial.
The 1937 exhibition included an abstract canvas that Gorky titled simply Painting. The museum purchased it out of the exhibition for $663, a modest sum even then, but a major boon for a struggling artist.
And this was a painting at the time that really nobody got. It was the first painting ever bought by Arshil Gorky by a museum. Today it is a treasured work in the collection. And in fact, we received other works from the Gorky family, including the famous artist and his mother, as a thank you from the Gorky family because of our early support of Gorky. And I think that is the point, is that the Whitney tries to be there at the point where artists need them. We are not a social service organization for artists. We are not there just to help them. We're not an artist rights organization. But what we do is we open the door, hopefully at key moments in their career, giving them opportunities to show their work, giving the public opportunities to be exposed to their work in a way that they might not have seen. And then we leave it to the press, we leave it to the public to decide what they think about it.
One thing keeps leading to the next for me in terms of kind of producing my work and being out in the world. It's pretty unbelievable. It's also, I mean, honestly, as much as you don't want to be like, the biennial is unbelievable. Really, for me, it's a pretty linear track from the biennial to a solo show to a book deal. I mean, it's pretty specific. It's spectacular. And who doesn't want to be in the Whitney Biennial?
If you're interested in learning more about the Biennial, check out our companion podcast, to be released in early March, about the making of the Biennial, featuring interviews with the exhibition's curators. The Whitney Biennial runs from March 6th until June 1st. When you visit, please check out the Open Studio Audio Guide, a program that includes interviews with more than 40 biennial artists. Or you can download the tour here. Thank you for listening in.